Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Jetta Cameron, John Ritchie, 94 WIP. Looking forward to Jim Salisbury today at 12:30 because, you know, the Phil's got some decisions to make, not just with the lineup and how to configure it and whether to keep Schwarber in the leadoff spot or not, but also who to try to get and what is the timetable for when the, you know, baseball trade market will really more open up. I mean, obviously, ideally, the Phillies would make a trade, you know, today and get a player in the lineup tonight. Well, it won't be tonight. It'd be tomorrow. But, you know, that just doesn't normally happen in late June. But hopefully they can get on it sooner than later because, and if you missed the news earlier today, Jim Salisbury reporting that it's more of a six-week structure on the low end, but the possible end for Harper to come back, which differs from what we had heard yesterday when it was referred to as more of a late August hope for timetable, which would be 2 months at a minimum. So we'll talk to Salisbury at 12:30, his sense of, you know, what is going on with Harper, but, you know, more so than what happens with the rest of the team. 215-592-9494. And also X factor for the Eagles. Who's the guy that's sort of the swing factor for the Birds to take the next step other than Jalen Hurts? We all know Jalen Hurts is the ultimate key player-wise this year for the Birds, but who's sort of second in that pecking order? I had said James Bradbury earlier because if he can hold down his job, opposite of Slay. That really helps the D. John had referenced A.J. Brown. James said Hassan Reddick. I mean, obviously all worthy answers. Where do you stand on kind of who stands out to you as a really key difference maker for the Eagles for trying to become a really good, if not great, team this
Think
year?
Think about A.J. Brown. Three seasons in, he's had 2,000-yard years, and last year he had 869 yards. It was an off year,
yep.
You know, emotional stuff, and then trying to fit Julio Jones in, and they were running the heck out of the football. Think about the fact that he has been working with his quarterback this entire offseason on their own, you know, in a better place, you know, emotionally.
Yep.
He is – this guy, the talent really is phenomenal.
It's tremendous.
He's a big and fast wide receiver, runs like a running back when he has the ball in his hands. We haven't seen a guy like this in this town at that position since Terrell.
No question.
And this is his best case scenario. He's playing with his best friend, throwing him the ball. This could be an all-timer type situation where you've got the talent and now the ideal situation for that talent.
Well, and you hope great camaraderie, which, you know, the guys really do seem to like Jalen Hurts an awful lot. And if he can back it up on the field, then you could have something special going, because they do really seem to gravitate to Jalen Hurts, the person, which is nice.
Yeah.
And let's be real, last time the Eagles won big, 2017, which is, you know, the only time they won the Super Bowl, they had remarkable team camaraderie. I mean, you could just freaking feel it.
Yeah.
Whether you're at the game or, you know, watching it on TV, you could just – the camaraderie just jumped out. And hopefully they can recreate some of that. 215-592-9494. They are going to have to figure out who the team leader on defense is, though. And I'm not sure the answer to that, because in 2017 and for a stretch of time, it was clearly Malcolm Jenkins. And it has felt like there has been a defensive void of leadership for a couple years since Malcolm's been out of here. Let's go to Joe in Mayfair right now. Hello, Joe.
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. Great, great show. Before I get to the feud, I'm going to mention a player for the Eagles that I really believe is going to make a huge difference in their win total, at least 2 to 3 games, and that's Jake Elliott.
Well, I'm a believer, man. I mean, he did a really nice job, and Joe, we had heard that in 2020 when he struggled, they did not like the way the punter held the ball for Jake Elliott when he kicked the ball. And, of course, they changed punters, and his career seems to have taken off in a good way again.
Yeah, I'm talking about touchbacks, too. I mean, you want to make sure that the opposition team has to go 75 yards.
Yep.
So you're talking the offense of this team is definitely going to move the football, and sometimes they'll get stagnant, and he's going to have to come through this year with a higher tank offense of making sure that, you know, if you're up by 6 points, make it 9. If it's a close game, you got to make sure you hit those fourth quarter field goals. So I think the pressure is going to be on that kicker this year, especially you plan on winning 10 and 11, 12 games this year and going to the playoffs. So I think Jake Elliott to me is a huge factor.
I agree.
I would also make Boston Scott my punt and kickoff returner, and I would use him that way because he is very careful with the football. He is very smart. He is very quick. He could be that Dave Meggett, Brian Mitchell type role, which gets the ball in his hand some, and I trust him back there in both. So that's a way to get him on the field, because I do agree, John, Kenny Gainwell to me is going to be the most improved player on this team this year, getting the ball in the backfield as well as the passing game, because he's going to get a lot of mismatch coverages playing that third or fourth receiver with all the weapons that we have. And I think he's going to get a lot of yak yards this year. I don't know how you feel about that, but I am a huge Gainwell fan this year, as most improved Eagle offensively by far.
Well, I hope they get creative with him. He's a player. He's a running back who can run routes like a slot wide receiver at times, and they've tried to take advantage of that. But, you know, with the dearth of passing in our offense by the end of last season, I think they got away from that concept a lot. And it was something that we saw when we were at training camp. I saw him moving around an awful lot. They'd motion him out of the backfield. They were trying to do with him what they did with Darren Sproles once upon a time. And they kind of got away from it. I think they'd like to return to it, and I think he'll make them right if they let him catch passes like a wide receiver.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And on the defensive side of the ball, I'm hoping he's up for it, because I was so happy when they got N'Kobe Dean. if he could be that guy, multiple linebacker, he can actually play safety if you need him to on passing downs with his quickness and how to read the defense. I mean, he is going to be a huge X factor in this defense, especially clogging the gaps, stopping the run, making the tackles, ball hawk and things like that.
But you know what the ironic thing is, Joe, before he gets to that point, he's actually just got to beat some other guys out for the job.
I don't think that's going to be an issue.
I don't know. As a rookie, man, I don't know about that.
This guy.
I mean,
Joe,
just remember this. Jeremiah Trotter was a great Eagle, a great Eagle. He barely played his rookie year, man. He barely played. I mean, that's not easy, stepping in the middle of an NFL defense and just taking off from year one.
Right now, he's probably backing up T.J. Edwards. And, you know, Kaiser White's a guy that they added as a free agent at the will. I'd like to see N'Kobe Dean playing Will or Mike. And Davion Taylor's in that mix, too.
Exactly.
A guy who's got a lot more experience. Now, he didn't have experience at playing linebacker when he got to the Eagles, and that's part of, you know, what held him back in my eyes. But he's got that experience under his belt now, and he's healthy. And I like the way Davion Taylor can fly around. I think he and N'Kobe Dean both, they are, you know, strike like a cobra type linebackers who can cover and pursue.
Hey, Joe, hit us up with a famous feud, man.
I'm going sports because this is all about sports talk. And there was no greater sports feud back in the 90s than the Red Wings and the Avalanche.
That's already been said. You got to come up with something else.
I'm going to go back. I'll go with the Flyers. It's the last Flyers rivalry, the Lindros era versus the Devils.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
Well, it was spectacular. I mean, the end result wasn't, but the fun of those, you know, I guess it would be about 6 to 7 years where it was really, really hot, which coincidentally was pretty much the same year as the Red Wings and Avalanche were doing their thing. And it was awesome. It was awesome hockey. It was a lot of talent out there, and they had some incredible series. Some the Flyers won, some the Devils won. Obviously, the Devils won the most notable ones, but great battles, man. Let's go to Salvador in Coatesville. Hello, Salvador.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hi, Salvador.
I'm getting tired of people complaining about how long they've been on hold. Come on, man. You're calling a radio station.
Well, what are you going to do, man?
You can call a less popular show or something. But anyway, I think that I don't think they should move Schwarber out of that leadoff spot, man. I feel like baseball players are more like creatures of habit. And if they move him out of there, he's going to start screwing up like he did in the beginning of the season when he was kind of off.
So I don't want to move him until he starts, you know, falling flat. I don't think messing with a great thing is a good idea.
Salvador, I understand. I totally understand where you're coming from. But just hear me out for a second. If you go 2, 3, 4, 5 in whatever sequence of, let's just say it's Hoskins, I'm saying Schwarber 1, Hoskins 2, Castellanos 3, let's say JT is 4, and Boehm is 5. I mean, they leave themselves extremely exposed to a right-handed relief pitcher late in the game to come in and attack them. And the only other way to get out of that is to either put Didi or Odubel in the top 3 or 4, and that's a disaster.
Yeah,
that's why I think they've got to move Schwarber, which yeah, I did not initially. I mean, answer the question.
Stott's
not the not for that. Stott's in the picture for whether he hits 7, 8, or 9. I mean, Salvador. All right, I hear your point, but do you really think what you're saying, Schwarber leadoff, is better than 4 righties, or excuse me, justifies 4 righties, or justifies having, you know, guys that aren't that good, like Didi and Odubel,
I just want the hitters to keep hitting. I feel like if Schwarber, if you move him, he's going to stop hitting.
Well, how about you trust Schwarber to keep hitting in the 3 or 4 hole?
No, I feel like Castellanos is going to turn it on here soon. Mm-hmm. I really do. Because, you know, there's no way he's like a plus 300 hitter every year.
He should get going. Salvador, give me a great feud.
Yankees-Red Sox.
Yankees-Red Sox, a big answer, no doubt. It got a little played out there for some time, which was a shame because I felt like ESPN just – I mean, James, did they just shove it down our throat or what?
Yeah, it felt like it was like Sunday Night Baseball every week. And they're like six-hour games.
That's
brutal.
I mean, it was so good when it was so hot, and then it became a little bit
I've been there, done that.
And I also think that 04 really did kind of suck some of it out of it. Like, it was magical before then, and that moment was as good as it gets, and then it just didn't have that same bite.
I agree. I think that's exactly right. By the way, Red Sox coming on, a team that looked like in the beginning of the year they had no shot for the postseason. They're playing really good baseball lately, and they are totally in the mix in the AL. Let's go to Scott right now in King of Prussia. Hello, Scott.
Hey, guys. Good afternoon.
Hi, Scott.
Well, it looks like the Sixers' opportunity just might be falling into their lap, and I'm curious as to know if you two would do this deal or not, if it should happen. Would you consider trading Maxey, Tobias, Thybulle, and 2 second-round picks for KD?
So my first thought is probably, but let me just ask you a question to help me get to my answer.
Sure.
Is Kevin Durant going to commit to the Sixers for, you know, four years? I can't play the one-year game.
Yes. If this deal is to happen, it basically means that Kyrie re-ups, he gets traded to the Lakers despite re-upping, and then KD wants out. And if KD wants out, he's got to ask for Philadelphia. And that's a lot of things that have to happen for it to happen, but it would almost certainly come with an extension.
Like, I feel like I would have to make that deal because Kevin Durant and Joel Embiid together would put the Sixers in the top three of the NBA.
Now, there's no question I would make that deal. And it hurts letting go of that. I mean, now we have to build. We need bodies. We need lots of bodies to fill out the rest of this roster. But Kevin Durant here, that means we are, we can win now. And we need to win now. Daryl Morey talks about this is the most important year. This year, right now. Joel's got 3 or 4 years left. Yeah. Let's make a huge move like that.
I'm totally with you guys with this, and I'm usually all about building with youth, especially when it comes to the Phillies. But in this case, I would probably do this deal and give up Maxey. I'd hate to do it because I think Maxey is going to be a star, but I think I would.
I would too, Scott.
And how does Kevin Durant feel about James Harden, though? I thought they were at odds.
You're right.
Didn't he stiff arm him when they picked the All-Star teams just last year?
Supposedly, they're not at odds like it's been reported, and that's something that could be smoothed out. And there's a little bit of smoke behind this. Yeah. You know, this could be just what Morey's been waiting for, you know.
Scott, I think it's possible.
I really do.
Because the Kyrie Irving thing's opening up a can of worms in Brooklyn. I mean, the one report yesterday indicating that Brooklyn would rather, now think about this, they would rather lose Kyrie and Durant than sign Kyrie to an extension. That's how much they can't stand Kyrie. They would rather lose Kyrie. And by the way, I respect it. I mean, I can't stand the Nets because, you know, what they represent, like, hey, everyone wants to go to the Nets and join up and all that. And then, of course, Ben Simmons is a Net. But I actually yesterday, as a fan of sports, was sort of proud of the Nets to find out that a team is finally standing up to a player and saying enough is enough.
Especially when they've given away all their draft
picks.
So it's like that's a real thing to say when Houston has swaps and picks for the next like 5 years.
Correct. That's how much they are committed to not having Kyrie Irving on their team. That's at least signing him. Yeah.
The best part about them taking this stance is that it could literally lead to the final piece that we've all been waiting for and hoping for.
It could, but remember this, and John sort of touched on this briefly when he commented to you. The Sixers would then be a two-player team. I mean, you know, like you do want to try to avoid being what the Nets were last year, which was a three-player team or a two-and-a-half-player team. I mean, they had nothing else. The Lakers last year had LeBron and Anthony Davis and nothing else. You do need to round out a roster. You need to have some other players. Scott, give me a famous feud.
This one, I think, you know, mine was taken while I was on hold, but this was a strong other one for me. Rafael Nadal and Federer.
You know what? I disagree with that, and I know where he's coming from. He's talking about a rivalry. It is not a rivalry.
You're right, Joe.
I mean, Nadal and Federer has been an all-timer, but they like each other a lot. You know why? Because they're both really good dudes. Those guys are great. And
they
by
seem
the way,
great.
Well, especially in light of what a jerk Djokovic. Yeah, I'm getting him and Jokic confused.
No, it was right the first time. So, yeah, Novak Djokovic.
Yeah, Djokovic. Yeah.
Thank you.
That dude's got a lot of Aaron Rodgers in him.
Yes.
He's got a lot of Aaron Rodgers orneriness in him. So anyway, one other thing, NBA note. I wanted to get to this here, and it's perfect time after that last call. You know, you see stuff sometimes when a reporter reports something. And you know it comes from getting the information from a certain camp, in this case, a player's camp, Kyrie Irving's camp. And this Shams guy, look, he gets a lot of stories, and I enjoy following both him and Adrian Wojnarowski because, you know, you follow those guys or Schefter, you know, you get good information in sports. But I thought his presentation yesterday of the Kyrie Irving news that Kyrie was going to opt into the Nets 1-year player option, his player option with the Nets, I thought was a nonsense tweet from Shams, and I want to tell you why. Now, I'm going to read you the tweet, then I'm going to tell you why. Shams yesterday reported this. Brooklyn Nets star Kyrie Irving is opting into his $37 million player option for the 2022-2023 season, The Athletic at Stadium has learned. Irving is bypassing on multiple opt-in and trade scenarios to fulfill his 4-year commitment to the Nets and Kevin Durant. Here's what I don't like about it. James, I see you smiling already.
Yeah, I mean,
it's that last line. Everyone knows what happened.
Yeah.
Teams don't want Kyrie Irving, and the Nets don't want to give him an extension.
And he doesn't want to take less than the money he can make.
Correct.
He's got $37 million on the table.
So this has nothing to do with him, a 4-year commitment to the Nets and Kevin Durant. It has to do with the fact that the Nets gave him the middle finger because they said, dude, you've been the biggest horse's ass in sports in the last 12 months, if not the last 5 years. We're sick of it. We're not going to offer you a penny. And other organizations feel the same way, so they're not trading for him. I mean, here a couple days ago, I think it was last Friday, the three of us went on the record. Forget what the Sixers would have to give up to get him. We just said, fundamentally, would you want Kyrie Irving on the Sixers? This is a top 10 to 12 player in basketball. John Ritchie said no. James Seltzer said no. I said no. Because it's just too much. The Nets are saying too much. The league's saying too much. Obviously, he goes back to Brooklyn for this 1-year scenario. He gets all these millions. Okay, whatever. It's not about a commitment to the Nets and a commitment to Kevin Durant. And Shams, as a reporter, should be embarrassed for putting that nonsense out there where millions of people read it and probably 500,000 people actually believe it. It's ridiculous. 215-592-9494. Coming up next, Jim Salisbury. The Phillies have some decisions to make, namely how to bat who's going to lead off and who's going to bat where, and also who to target to try to replace Bryce Harper for at least a month or two, plus the timetable for Bryce Harper. We'll get Jim's thoughts on that as well. It's all up ahead, plus more phone calls. Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie on WIP. All right, Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie on a really beautiful Tuesday afternoon throughout the Delaware Valley, 94 WIP. Phil's back at it tonight versus the Atlanta Braves. It's an important 3-game series. To a certain extent, it feels like they're all important from here on out. Because, you know, they're in the mix for a playoff spot, and they're going to have to play good baseball and try to overcome the Bryce Harper injury for at least a good chunk of time here. And joining us right now, our next guest does a tremendous job covering the Phillies. And needless to say, he's had a lot to cover just in the last couple of days. From NBC Sports Philadelphia, Mr. Jim Salisbury. Hey, Ben, Jim.
Hey, doing okay. How are you?
Boy, Jim, when you signed on to be a beat reporter, this is one of those stretches where it's like roll up the sleeves and try to figure out what's happening. There's a lot going down. So let's get to it, and let's start with this. What is your understanding of the Bryce Harper timeline?
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter. Medela
is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
When he would have surgery, how long he could be out, what the determining factors are.
Surgery very soon to stabilize it. I don't know if it's today, tomorrow, or the next day, but here in the short term,
yep,
those decisions are being made. Timeline, you know, hopefully back in a batter's box sometime late August. And when I say back in a batter's box, you know, that might be a practice situation, getting timing, getting strength back in the hand, getting his stroke back. I mean, everybody I talk to says, you know, hopefully sometime in August. But you know, everybody heals differently, mm-hmm. different rates. And, personally, I think if he's in the middle of your lineup playing in a big league game on September 1, I think that's a win.
Does that pretty much coincide with the return of Gene Segura?
That could, if Segura again mends, you know, as they hope. Mm-hmm. And that's something that shouldn't be overlooked here. They've lost their two best hitters.
Sure have.
Really. Probably two best pure hitters.
Two of their best fielders, too.
Yeah, and, you know, certainly for the first couple of months before Schwarber got hot. So two very significant losses. But, yeah, if he heals good and he's in the middle of that lineup in a big league game looking like Bryce Harper on September 1, I think it's it's a win, but the thing I'm hearing is 6 weeks, give or take, and cross your fingers and see what happens. But
Jim, one more injury. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say it's the type of break where they do need to stabilize it.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Jim, one more injury-related question, but it's a different injury. Do you know what they know of how long when he has the elbow surgery, if he has it, how long that will keep him out? And what we're trying to figure out is whether that's an option during this season if they decide to shut him down and have him ready for April 1st.
Yeah, well, I mean, key word there is if.
Yep.
I mean, there's been no decision, at least to my knowledge, maybe something privately, but they're still hoping that this thing will heal over, as sometimes a UCL tear will do, especially if it's not a big tear. If, you know, he was supposed to test that next week or so, you know, if it looks like it's going to heal over, then – and it does heal over, maybe you don't need surgery, but I can't give you a timetable on the surgery, how long it would take to recover, because I don't know what kind of surgery he would require. You know, his teammate, Reese Hoskins, had like a 40% tear of his UCL. And ordinarily that would, years ago that would have required Tommy John surgery.
Sure.
There's a new procedure called an internal brace that cuts the recovery time down to like 4 or 5 months, and it can fix a partial tear of a UCL. So Hoskins had that and had that in October and was playing in games on day one of spring training. They were taking it a little bit easy, but he was recovered. He was in the opening day lineup. So that would be unheard of with Tommy John surgery, which would require probably for a position guy a year. So like I said, they're hoping it heals without surgical procedure, and if it's not going to, then they're going to have to determine what type of surgical procedure they want. Full-blown Tommy John, which is going to take a year and really shelve you, or an internal brace, which is this what they call Tommy John Light, which they can do and recover a guy in the off season. So those are decisions they would have to make. So I do think if he needs surgery, there's still a chance he can be ready on opening day if he has that, you know, lesser,
sure, makes sense.
The newer procedure that Hoskins did.
Jim, what are the disadvantages to the Tommy John Light?
I don't know that there are any disadvantages to it. I think it can be done for partial tears,
okay,
which he has.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, a full thickness tear, you're not going to do it.
Uh-huh.
And also, you know, he's not a pitcher who's straining that
right
elbow constantly. He's a fielder, so he might be a better candidate for the internal brace procedure, which their team doctor, Steve Cohen, did on Rhys Hoskins. And Rhys, if you talk to him, thinks it went really well. He thought it was a great option for him, and it really worked for him. So it's more of an option probably for a position guy than a pitcher.
Right.
And I don't think they would do it if they didn't think there would be a full recovery. So, you know, that would – I don't see any downside in having it if the nature of his tear, you know, makes him a good fit for the procedure.
Makes sense, for sure. From NBC Sports Philadelphia, Jim Salisbury right now. All right, Jim, before we get to the trade market and how they can try to maneuver, let's deal with the lineup. They play against the Braves tonight. Charlie Morton's a right-hander. Schwarber's been dominant in the leadoff spot. If they keep him there, then they probably have a whole bunch of righties after that, or they put a substandard hitter in the top four, like Didi or Dubel. What do you think they will do? What do you think they should do with how they sequence the top of the lineup?
Boy, that's a good question. I against a right-hander tonight, I kind of doubt they'll mess with the top of the order. Schwarber's going so good. He's him and Hoskins at the top of that lineup have been a real key to this June turnaround.
But are you going Castellanos 3 and Real Muto 4 and Bohm 5, or are you putting a guy like Didi or Odubel up there who, I mean, let's be real, they don't warrant being bad at that high.
I don't know what he's going to do. They certainly could need – they need more from their left-handed hitters. They need more from Didi. They need more consistency from Odubel. I would think he'd try to break them up and take a chance that one's going to get hot here, but – moving Schwarber out of there, I think, would be risky because, one, he's going good. And the first 2 months of the season when you were so inconsistent, the leadoff hole was one of their absolute biggest problems.
Yep.
And so he has solved that for now, and he's also gotten hot. But the issue you're bringing up, just it tells you how much they're going to miss that left-handed presence in Bryce Harper. It tells you how right-handed they're going to be. It tells you that the remaining left-handed hitters are inconsistent or underperforming. So they need more from everybody, especially some of their left-handed hitters. Solving this thing, I think you got to do something myself.
Yeah.
I think Andrew Benintendi would be, to me, he'd be a guy I'd be on the phone right now seeing what I could do. He's left-handed. He's not Bryce Harper by any means, but he would mitigate some of the offensive loss, and it would allow you to DH Castellanos, whereby you're making a very big improvement defensively in the outfield. So that would be a guy I would be looking at. I'd also be looking at his teammate, Whit Merrifield, who I think would, he's a right-handed bat, but you could play him in right field, and it would allow you to DH Castellanos, improving your defense there. I really think they're going to miss Harper's presence. This is such a shaky ground they're on. They've played so well, and they're still like 8 games out and a game and a half in the wild card. They've played so well just to get like a few games over 500.
Yep.
If they have a leveling off, it really could knock them right out of it. So I think you need to get out there and try to do something. And I know Josh Bell would be a great offensive addition. He's a switch hitter. You put him on the left side. He could, give you some pop in there. He's going to be a free agent. I just don't know what he's going to cost. And then, when Harper comes back, I don't know what you do with Bell. I mean, you figure it out, but he's a Scott Boras client, like Harper, like the pitcher who hit Harper. And those things always come up when you deal with Scott Boras clients. Benintendi, to me, would be a really nice fit. There are probably others. David Peralta, I think, would maybe in Arizona, but I think if you could get a left-handed hitting outfielder to mitigate the offensive loss and improve you defensively, that would be a nice play.
That'd be great. Yep.
Benintendi would be my person of choice. He's a free agent, you could play him right to the end in the outfield, and he would improve you there. So we'll see what happens. I really think they have to do something, but they're going to be – everybody knows they're over a barrel. All the other teams know they're over a barrel. They have a huge payroll. Everybody knows that. They have a huge desperation to break a postseason drought. Everybody knows that. Prices are going to be really, really high. We're still, a month out from the deadline. Prices are going to be really high. People are going to try to stick up the Phillies. And they're going to be, and they, in my opinion, need to be very protective of their young pitching. Painter, Abel, those guys aren't going anywhere. So You're going to have to be judicious in who you can give up. But with all that desperation and that big payroll, you have a responsibility not to let this thing kind of die on the vine because of the Harper and Segura injury. You need to go out there and, I think, help your offense and be willing to give up something. Because you need to get to the postseason because you got Zach Wheeler in his prime rattling off these great years, and Nola's looking good. You have a good starting rotation. Believe it or not, they can win a series if they get into the postseason. I don't want to face their starting rotation if I'm a favorite in the postseason. I don't want to face the Philly starting rotation knowing that they dial a couple up and I'm going home.
So, Jim, a lot of names that you threw out there. How many players do you realistically expect the Phillies to add? A left-handed outfielder and then bullpen?
Yeah, I think they need bullpen.
How many can we add? How many add?
I do not know the answer to that question, either question. I do think they need to improve their bullpen. I know everybody's a little intoxicated by what the bullpen did in San Diego, but the Padres were down Machado and Tatis, so that wasn't, you know, the normal Padres lineup, or, you know, that was a suspect lineup. I still think, you know, they need help in the bullpen, but now you've added another area where you need assistance.
This is just a philosophical question. Back to the root of our problems here. How important is it for Rob Thompson to balance the handedness of our lineup? Do we overrate that concept?
Well, I don't think we overrate it because, you know, you got the three batter thing, so you don't want to just have them come in and eat you up from one side. So it really is good to go left, right. And as the games get bigger, and especially in the postseason when bullpen's so important, it is nice to balance it. But I'll always take a good hitter over an inferior hitter just for the sake of balancing out my lineup. I'll take production over handedness for the for the platoon matchup there any day of the week. And ultimately, I think that's gotta drive their thinking. That's why I think they probably need to consider a guy like, you know, if Ian Happ's available, I think you have to consider him. And maybe you can get David Robertson in the same deal. But again, now you're talking multiples, and you're talking having to give up an awful lot in return there. So we'll see. This is why, you know, Dombrowski's one of the best. And they're going to have to really, I think, use a lot of creativity here. But I really believe that, you know, bullpen was probably the area they need to address the most. Maybe center field after that, but now fixing this Bryce hole is superseded all of that, in my
opinion. So agree, Jim. Let's round it out with this, because John and I have been asked this question a lot over the last 2 days on the show, and I'm curious your answer. Just if you can put it, and Jim Salisbury with us here right now, put into words how big a hit the Phillies' playoff chances took with the Harper injury. I mean, we know it hurts, and it hurts a lot. How much does it hurt? I mean, do they go from a, you know, I'm just making up a number, a 40% chance to make the playoffs to 20% or to 10%? How big's the drop?
I think it's an enormous drop. And it's not an insurmountable drop. I mean, everybody looks at the Braves last year. They lost Acuna and Ozuna. Big, big losses. And everybody points to a very creative GM who went out and remade his outfield on the fly. But to me, more important than remaking that outfield and the outstanding moves that their GM made was Freddie Freeman and Austin Riley and Dansby Swanson went nuts, and they picked up the slack. So you need Schwarber to continue producing what he's doing. You need to see this June version of Rhys Hoskins continue, and you need Castellanos and Realmuto to be the players you need. They're supposed to be the producers that they're supposed to be. So you need everybody to step up, or else, you know, their chances of taking a huge hit. I don't think it has to be fatal if these guys pick it up and play to some of their track records, and the front office can make a move. But I mean, they've taken, in my opinion, an enormous hit, the postseason chances, because you look at what Harper's done the last year. He's been a great signing for this team. He's produced. I mean, look what he's done the last year. Look how they stayed in it last year. It was like a one-man show up until that final week in
Atlanta.
Yeah,
exactly.
You know, Hoskins went down in July, and Reese was, Bryce was a one-man show, leading that team into keeping that team into contention in the final week. And it's like, you know, it's like NASCAR when you have that car that sets the pace. Everybody can draft off it. The guys ahead of them, the guys on the side of them, the guys behind them. And you miss that bat in your lineup that everybody feeds off and drafts off and provides, you know, protection in front of and behind. It's a big loss, but I do think they can make it up if they can go out and make a move to mitigate the offensive loss, to improve the defense. But it's all incumbent on and getting more continued excellence from Schwarber, Hoskins, but getting more from
yep.
Didi,
got it, absolutely,
Raimundo,
yeah,
and Castellanos. Castellanos is, we were very excited about that signing. He needs to produce to the level that was expected. And I will say this: he had an unbelievable second half last year in Cincinnati. Maybe it's coming.
That would be wonderful. I don't think it'll be as wonderful as your commentary, Jim, but that would be wonderful. We love having you on, Jim. Love following your work. Again, NBC Sports Philadelphia, NBCSportsPhilly.com, Jim Salisbury. Jim, as always, thank you so much, man.
Okay, guys. Take care.
You got it, man. I mean, it's just a wealth of information right there. James, you heard those names he was saying, targets for the Phillies to consider in trades. Do you like where he's going with those names?
Yeah, I think they're interesting names. Ian Happ, Andrew Benintendi, the two that stick out.
Are those teams going to trade soon? Because a lot of times these things go to the trade deadline.
It's the Royals and the Cubs. I mean, it's two teams that are way, way, way out of it. So who knows when trading starts, but it is two teams who have no illusions about contending. So
that helps.
It does help.
I mean,
yeah.
John, you know.
I mean, look, neither of those guys is like Bryce Harper. I mean, like, it's a very, very small,
Listen,
you know.
I brought up a name yesterday, James, and you'll remember this from 2007. Now, they need longer than 2 weeks, but the 2 weeks the Phillies got in 2007 when Chase Utley went down and Pat Gillick, through a relationship with, I believe it was Kenny Williams, got Taniguchi.
Oh, yeah.
Sure. That was huge. Mm-hmm. I mean, Chase suffered what looked like a pretty big injury in 2007. He would have won the I really believe
he was going to win it.
He was going to win the MVP because he missed time. It might have been 3 or 4 weeks, whatever it was. Taniguchi held it down. Jimmy Rollins surged to got the MVP. Chase came back. They made the playoffs. It was beautiful. The Phillies need to make a trade. There is absolutely no doubt about it.
The Benintendi idea, left-handed bat, he could absolutely lead off for us. You know,
oh, that'd be beautiful.
If you do choose to move Schwarber out of there.
He's a high average guy. You know.
High average guy. 367 on base.
Be great. Be great.
Yeah.
Good fielder, too. He can't play. I mean, he's played it a few times, but he's a left fielder, but he's a very good left fielder.
There you go. All right. 215-592-9494. So the entire Phillies conversation on the table for you to react to. In addition to, as we've been talking a lot today, which Eagle you think is, other than Jalen Hurts, the most important player for the team to have, you know, really good success this upcoming season. Let's go to Better, who's with us right now. First question, Better. How do you get the name Better?
Yeah, what's going on, guys? Love your show.
Thanks,
been listening
Better.
For a while.
Is that a last name? What's the deal here?
That's a first name, Better Majid. That's my first and last name. It's a Middle Eastern descent.
Okay.
Better, just like the word, like better than yours, Joe.
There you go.
That's good.
I really just wanted to call up and say I love your guys' show. Been listening since it started.
Instead of one of those
hoagies, Joe, why don't you have a PB&J for lunch? No,
he refuses.
He
thinks it's childish to eat PB&J.
I don't even think of it. But I will say this better with what's, and I said this to John off the air, and I'll do a little sharing right now that I probably shouldn't. But with what's been going on with my. With what's been going on with, let's just call it my system, the last, like, 4 days, I'll take anything that can settle down my system.
Oh, man. Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, stick with the hoagie then.
I was very proud of myself at the movie last night. I drank water instead of Coke because I knew water would be better for me. So I am.
Do you have any water or just water?
Just water. Okay. I'm working on it.
Joe's guts are roiling.
Dude, it's been
upheaval.
Oh, my goodness.
On the inside.
Yeah. Like it's real. Like I have toilets ready to tell me they're going to kick me. They're going to kick me out of my apartment.
You might have to change my feud for the day then.
All right, Better. What do you got for us on the Eagles, my man?
My Eagles point. I'm really excited about this upcoming season. You know, the coaches, they have a whole season with the players. The coaches have a good year to get the system under their belt. It'll really tell us how far they've adapted to this new group and what they're going to do. I think the sleeper is Kenny Gainwell, honestly. I think we should try and move Miles and try to get him to the Bengals for Josh Bates, I think his name is, for the safety. I think it would be a good move. Kenny Gainwell, he's really explosive. We saw last year he can break out for a couple yards after a tackle. The DN sleepers I have are the new guy that we got from the Bengals, Rennell Wren, I think it is. He's going to actually probably help our defensive end spot with our aging guys like, Brandon Graham, although he's good, they're aging. So I think we actually got some good guys during the free agency.
Oh, it's definitely an upgrade. Listen, better, there's no question it's an upgrade, man. I mean, it's a much more talented team than it was last year.
Yeah, I don't know about the Rennell Wren guy.
Well, yeah,
I don't think it makes any sense for the Bengals to get rid of Jesse Bates for Miles Sanders.
You're talking about a
Pro Bowl caliber, All Pro caliber safety.
And they already have Joe Mixon, who they paid.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense. Yeah, but I will say better. I will say this. I do think there are people around the league that like Miles Sanders more than the Eagles and more than some of us. So maybe you can, use that.
If we can put that into a safety, who knows?
Well, maybe. I doubt it, but maybe. All right, give me a great feud, better. What do you got?
I got Tom and Jerry.
Tom and Jerry's a good answer. That's a really good answer, man. It's
really nice.
A lot of bickering right there. All right, good stuff. 215-592-9494. Important Eagles besides Jalen Hurts. Who do you have as number two? Plus, how about it? John said earlier. Go ahead, my man.
Sorry, Tanner.
Go ahead.
You said you think that there are people out there who value Miles Sanders more than we do.
The game announcers,
are you saying
though.
Other teams?
They might, because the broadcasters.
Come on, the broadcasters. I understand,
John,
what you're saying. They seem to rave about
they
him.
They do.
But they do kind of think that's their job, to play the guys up, make it exciting. Like, hey, this guy, he is exciting. I mean, he's going to go break some long runs and that sort of thing.
Yep.
Maybe that's what they're looking. They're looking at the highlight tapes or something.
Look,
I don't think that means that teams look at him and say, wow, this is a complete back that we need to add.
Well, let me put it this way.
I doubt it.
The fact that he hasn't been traded means he probably won't be traded. But I know this. There's always
teams don't value
backs. There's always
that's part of why he hasn't.
Yeah, but
been traded.
But he makes no money, so he could be traded. I mean, a team could take him on quite easily. There's always a sucker out there. There's always a sucker, and the key is to try to find one. Now, I don't think it's going to happen, but I just know this. I guarantee you, there's a general manager in pro football that thinks Miles Sanders is better than I do, and that general manager would be wrong, and I'd be right. I'm just telling you. I don't think the Eagles think he's
I just find
Dave Gettleman was the general manager for like 5 years with the Giants. I mean, they're out there. I mean, Isaiah Thomas was with the New York Knicks. He was a disaster. I mean, guys become GMs that shouldn't be GMs. It does happen.
It doesn't feel like any GMs, even the bad ones, make trades for backs, and especially backs that get hurt all the time, who drop balls and can't stay on the field or be consistent.
I don't expect him to get traded, to be clear. Jodie Cameron, John Ritchie on WIP.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.